Amen. That was wonderful. Remember when the choir started, Pastor, only a couple of years ago, when this current choir started, and it has been a blessing to see the choir grow and to see the wonderful music that they have produced. It's been a blessing. You know, I was sitting there and I was listening to all of those praise points and the thankfulness that was coming from the pews, and I was saying to myself, they don't need this message, Lord. They're already thankful. And the Holy Spirit just said, no, but you do. So you better get up there and preach it because you need this message. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18 tonight. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18. Paul here is giving us some wonderful truths on how we should live our lives in the last days, and he starts off there in verse number 16, and he talks about rejoicing evermore. 17, pray without ceasing. Then he gets to verse 18, and he says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege of your word and being able to open up the Bible tonight and to look into your word. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will lead and guide throughout this message. Lord, you know that it's my desire to be a blessing to my church family, so I pray that you'll equip tonight. We ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I don't know about you, but I really enjoy these sermons about the will of God. When you get to a sermon on the will of God, that's something that I'm really interested in, because I want to be locked in to the will of God. I know it was a real blessing to me when Samuel, the second eldest son, came up to me and he's been talking about what he wants to be when he grows up. And one of those things that he keeps mentioning is he wants to go into the army and be a soldier. And try as we may, we haven't been able to dissuade him from that thought as yet. But he did come to me and say, Dad, I want to be in the army, but I only want to be there if it's God's will. And that was a real encouragement to me. I don't normally do this, but when Pastor was preaching about God's will, he preached a sermon on it, I got my Bible out. I was looking for anything to write down that I could keep permanently. And I thought, well, I need to know God's will. And he came up with a little acrostic. And if you allow me, I'll just run through that again, because I think if you didn't get it the first time, you need to write it down, what it is to know God's will. And by way of introduction, let's just have a look at this acrostic. The first letter was G. G for God. God's will, not yours. The principle of surrender. O was for obedience to the known will of God. D was desire, spending time with the Lord. S was for scriptures. God speaks through his word. W was for wisdom. Ask by faith, believing, not wavering. I was for inner peace, which comes from God only. L was for love. Our motivation should be our love for the Lord. And the other L, to finish up God's will, was line up. Circumstances will harmonize with God's word. And tonight we want to have a look at the S, the scripture, which tells us God's will in 1 Thessalonians 5:18. It says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now, it doesn't get much more personal than that. God is speaking directly to each and every believer tonight. And he's telling us that this is the will of God. What is? In everything, give thanks. So on this praise and thanksgiving night, I just want to take a few moments to study what it means to give thanks in everything, and to profile a thankful person. Now you say, isn't everybody here thankful? Well, not everybody. In any given crowd, not everyone will be thankful. Not everyone will have the right attitude about what God has done for them. So how can you spot a thankful person? Well, notice firstly that thankful people have a right attitude. Turn to Isaiah chapter 61, book of Isaiah, chapter 61, and verse number 10. Isaiah 61 and verse 10. Now here's the prophet saying, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. Thankful people are joyful people. Joy is the outpouring of a thankful heart. Some people are simply a joy to be around. Others, as Dr. Gibbs used to say, will suck the joy right out of you. Do you express joy no matter what the circumstances are? You know, I had a quick chat with Peter McNair before the service on Sunday morning. He's an amazing man. His wife Susan is dying of cancer, yet he can still smile, shake your hand, and ask you, how's your family doing? You know, there's a peace about him. It's not hard to tell that he has a joyful spirit. Joy is the fruit of the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. If there's no joy in your heart tonight, then you need to examine your heart. Are you truly born again? Notice in Isaiah 61 verse 10, the prophet says, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. A person who has trusted in the person and works of our Lord Jesus Christ should have a joy about them. Perhaps your lack of joy is because you've forgotten what you had in Jesus Christ. You've lost the joy of your salvation, the thankfulness you once had because you thought God was all you needed. Remember that time? Great to hear Rachel's testimony. It hasn't been that long when Rachel's been saved. She's got the joy of salvation written all over her. Perhaps you've allowed people or worry or circumstances or things to rob you of your joy. In 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 11, the Apostle Paul says, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. When you study the life of Paul, you find a deep-seated thankfulness and joy. Despite all the persecutions, the stripes, the shipwrecks, the jailings, and being left for dead, Paul considered himself enriched in everything to all bountifulness. And he reminds us that if you add up all the blessings in your life, you will come to the same conclusion. We sang the hymn earlier tonight, didn't we? Count your many blessings, name them one by one. And it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Did you try that on this week? This month? Have you been counting your blessings? Praising God is an excellent way to bring back the joy. Start thinking about all the good things that God has done for you, beginning with your salvation. I heard a classic story of a pastor. I've shared this a few times with people. A pastor who'd lost his joy. He had been preaching all week and he was heading home by himself late at night. The devil was in his ear all the way in the car, telling him that he'd made no difference to the people, that he was all alone in the middle of the night, that he was basically wasting his time. And after a while, he just pulled the car over to the side of the road and he went around to the passenger side and opened the door and he said, righto, devil, you've been here long enough, get out. And then he shut the door, got back in the car, and for the rest of the trip home, he started praising God for all the good things that had happened in his life. And he said, and by the time I got home, he said, I was fired up. He said, let me at him, give me another meeting. He was excited. And you know, that's how we should be. We should be thankful. We should be praising God. Then notice that thankful people will be serving in their spirit. That's the type of spirit that God blesses. James chapter 4 and verse 6 says, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. A person who's thankful will have a spirit of humility, a spirit of gratitude. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Philippians 4 and verse 6. You'll have a spirit of faith, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labour of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 3. The type of spirit that has a spirit of flexibility, of commitment, of compassion. as in Jude verse 22, and a spirit of understanding, Psalm 17:27. He that hath knowledge spareth his words, and a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. Don't ever complain about serving God. Look at Psalms 84. Psalms 84. Brother Yan read this out for us this morning. It's a wonderful psalm of thanksgiving to the house of God, being able to be in the house of God. You know, how amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. And it reads in verse 10, for a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Wonderful psalm. You know, don't ever think it's too much to teach a class or to prepare a lesson or to sing in the choir for the Lord. It's just a privilege. And thankful people, they have a song to sing. Psalm 7 and 17, I'll praise the Lord according to his righteousness and will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. You notice some things when you're up here as a song leader. Some people don't sing. They might stand, they might hold a hymn book, there's nothing happening. Joyful people can't wait for the hymns to start. They launch into them and off they go, whether they can carry a tune or not. Doesn't matter. Pastor mightn't be able to hold a note, but it doesn't stop him from singing. Consider the words of Pastor Robert Robinson's wonderful hymn. Come, thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for song of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount, I'm fixed upon it. Mount of thy redeeming love. Did you know that Robert Robinson's father died at the age of 5 and left them destitute? Not much to sing about as a young boy. But when he was saved at the age of 22, he found plenty to sing about. Amen. Turn with me to Psalm 100, please. You're in the book of Psalms. Psalm 100. Notice in Psalm 100, verses 1 and 2, it says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. I'm simply saying tonight, the attitude of a thankful person is different. Notice secondly, that thankful people acknowledge God. While you're there in Psalms 100, look at verse 3. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. All the attributes of our God come to mind here. We serve a great and mighty God who rules over all. A thankful person will trust in his sovereignty. They know he is God. This knowledge brings us to intelligent worship, not some superstitious kind of worship. I'm thankful that I don't have to walk on hot coals or swim through the Sydney Heads to show my worship to my God. If I want to know my God, I just have to read his book. Amen. A thankful person also lives with the understanding that God is with us. Jeremiah 9 and verse 23 reads, thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. And verse 24 says, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me. God understands and God knows you and me. Psalms 139, and you get a chance to have a read through that, read through the whole lot of it. God knows you and me. There are a lot of things about God we don't understand, but we should always trust him. Thankful people acknowledge him as the creator. We are his sheep. He is the creator God. He's the only one with the power to sustain. Colossians 1 and verses 16 and 17, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. Wish the evolutionists would get this. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Often my wife and I will look at each other and ask, what do people do without the Lord? Everything holds together by God. We are the people of God, and thankful people remember that. Thank God for that. We have been purchased. We are His. The devil wants to question that and wants us to question it as well. But God loves us more than we could ever possibly comprehend. We are His people. Friend, do you know how much God loves you? Colossians 1 and verse 12 says, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Aren't you glad to be a child of the King? Should be. It should show. There should be a royal glow about you. You know, I've seen people who've just been saved. There is a glow about them. I still remember when our children got saved, when Zachary and Samuel trusted the Lord on the same day, and they could not contain their joy. They were jumping and they were leaping. They were leaping with joy. They were so excited, they couldn't wait to get home to tell Mum that they got saved. And it was a wonderful, wonderful day. You can see that when people are saved, that they've got something that's incredibly special. That's why it's so important to go soul winning and to be involved in the Lord's work. You'll be around one of life's greatest miracles. You think about that. The miracle of salvation. Now, in today's world, that is a miracle. When somebody changes their life. You see lives transformed, changed for all time. Young people, let me tell you, there's no greater joy than what comes from leading another person to the Lord. No greater joy. What a blessing to hear Pastor sharing about those young people this week at his school. 10 young people making a decision for the Lord this week, putting their hands up and saying, yes, I want to trust in Jesus Christ as my Savior. That's wonderful. That was such an encouragement to me, Pastor. Thankful people are quite different in their attitude, the way they acknowledge God. And thirdly, thankful people act differently. Again, Psalm 100 and verse 4. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. God is good all the time. When you have the foundational heart that God is good all the time, it really doesn't matter what happens to you. Many of you have heard of the Bible commentator Matthew Henry. You may even have his Bible commentary on your computer or in the bookshelf. There's a great story concerning him. Matthew Henry one day was riding his horse through the forest, and he was on his way to a church meeting where he was going to be the guest speaker, when suddenly a masked bandit darted out with a gun in his hand and demanded that Matthew Henry get off his horse. Now Mr. Henry obeyed, as he knew this was a dangerous situation. Even though he tried to talk to the man about God and spiritual matters, the bandit would hear none of it. He quickly took all of Matthew Henry's money and ran back into the woods. Although he was penniless, Matthew Henry got back on his horse and continued on his journey. His mind took him to the Bible truth that we are supposed to give thanks in everything. He asked God how he was supposed to be thankful for being robbed. As he continued on his way, the answer came to him. That night he told the story and concluded his message by sharing the reason he could be thankful for what happened to him that day. First, he said, I am thankful that I have never been robbed before. Second, I'm thankful he took my money and not my life. Third, I'm thankful he did not take more. He could have taken my horse and my clothes as well. Next, I am thankful that what I had stolen from me really didn't amount to much at all. And then I'm grateful that what I lost in time could be replaced. But finally, and most importantly, I'm thankful that I was the one robbed and not the robber. God uses people who have purpose in their heart to be thankful no matter the circumstance. How about you? Have you made that decision yet? What are you waiting for? The time to thank God is now. I know things are tough and I know that bad things happen to good people. But God can use those tough circumstances for His glory. It might be that someone else is going through the same trial as you and watching to see how you handle that. You ever wonder why SLAM and Rock of Ages prison ministries are so successful? Why people continue to get saved behind bars? I heard this week about a young man in jail who's facing a 6-year sentence. Let's call him John for the sake of this illustration. There was no way around it. He was going to jail for 6 years. And John knew he was going to spend a long time behind bars. While awaiting sentencing, he was saved. And he joined the prison Bible study. As the inmates met together to study the Bible, John noticed another prisoner who looked agitated and upset all the time during the study. During one of those studies, the prisoner asked if he could speak privately to John in the hallway. The agitated prisoner said, "I know I'm going to jail for a long time, and I'm scared as anything, but you don't seem to be worried at all." That prisoner broke down right there and said to John, "Man, I want what you have." Right then and there, he heard about the love of Jesus Christ, bowed his head and got saved. Glory to God, amen. Would others want what you have? That's the message out of it. That prisoner saw something in John, saw something in him in jail, and said, "Well, I haven't got that peace. You've got that peace." I think that's one of the keys as to why that ministry is so successful, is that they can see the change. Sometimes we're very good at masking the change for circumstances and the people that we're around. Don't mask it. There's a change in your life, tell people about it. Someone asked me today, "How's your job going?" "Best job in the world." Told them, "Best job in the world. Changed my life, going from the horse racing industry to the higher education sector." What a change. You know what I found out this week? The higher education industry is the second biggest in Australia. I used to boast about the fact that the horse racing industry was the third biggest industry in Australia. No, the higher education, the second biggest. We've gone up in the world, amen? Yeah, we're walking epistles. The Bible tells us that. We're walking epistles. We're the only Bible some folks are ever going to see. So be thankful unto God and bless His name, and others will notice the difference. So be different in that work situation. Be different around your family. Be different with that unsafe person. Have a good attitude in the office and in front of your relatives and the church. 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 14 says, "Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and to make manifest the savour of His knowledge by us in every place." Notice that little phrase, triumph in Christ. Paul said to live is Christ, but to die is gain. We're always triumphing in Christ, amen? What a blessing. What a great God we have. And finally tonight, thankful people ask. How can we be thankful? Philippians 4 and verse 6, I mentioned it earlier, gives us the answer. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Express everything in prayer. And remember that all things work together for good. Romans 8:28. Helen Keller said, "I thank God for my handicaps, for through them I have found myself, my work, and my God." One woman wrote, "Thank you, God, for the garden you gave me when all I asked for was a flower. Thank you, God, for the ocean when all I asked for was some rain. Thank you, God, for the beauty you have created when all I asked for was to see. Thank you, God, for the multitude of friends in my life when all I asked for was love. Thank you, God, for all that I have received from you, and most of all, that I know I am never alone, for you are always here beside me. Thank you, God, for giving your Son to forgive us of our sin. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for saving my soul." Yet the will of God for us is to be thankful. So where are you tonight? Are you a thankful person? Sounds like it's a majority here tonight, Pastor, and that's a wonderful, wonderful blessing. But if you're not thankful tonight, then do you need to confess that you've lost your joy for whatever reason, and just come to an old-fashioned altar here and ask God to help you recover your joy. May God help us tonight and this week to be truly thankful, joyful people. Thank you. Pastor.